And so it was when he had turned his back to go from Samuel, that God gave him another heart, and all those signs came to pass that day. Now Saul had just received his first anointing. And notice what the Bible says. God gave him another heart. Now in the Old Testament, they were not able to be born again. Born again was a blessing that was reserved for the New Testament saints. So what actually happened to Saul was that that first anointing came upon his life that gave him an inward ability to tune in to what God called him at any time. And he must learn how to tune to that call, like deep caller unto thee. It's just like some people say it in the colloquial way, you know, when you're called to preach, the preach is in you all the time. Because you're anointed to preach. When you're anointed as a prophet, the prof is in you all the time. You always want to prophesy. When you're anointed to pastor, you know, the pastor is in you all the time. You just want to pastor some people. You just want to shepherd them. And when you're anointed to teach, the teach is in you all the time. Well, you have to be careful how to allow that first level of anointing to operate in your life. Because if it doesn't come out as a preach or teach, all it does is itch, which will do no good. You'll be scratching all over the place wondering what's it for. It's to tune us to what God calls us. So that sometimes anybody who gives themselves fully to the office and the anointing that God calls, you cannot separate them from their office after some time. When you look at them, that's their office. When you look at the office, that's them. See, David was so married to his kingly office that when you think of King David, you always think of him as King David. Inseparable. That's what happened. You become the very personification of your own office. That's the first anointing. And David's main center for that first anointing, after he went through all the persecution by King Saul, etc., is found in chapter 22 of 1 Samuel. Verse 1 and 2. David therefore departed from there and escaped to the cave of Adullam. And when his brothers and all his father's house heard it, they went down there to him, and everyone who was in distress, everyone who was in debt, and everyone who was discontented gathered to him, so he became captain over them, and there were about 400 men with him. David's main center, where he began to develop the kingly office. You see, before that he was under King Saul. But now he is in Adullam cave. I will classify the first anointing, his main capital, where he began to develop his kingly office. For these 400 men were later the very men who helped establish the kingdom for King David. These 400 men were later among those mighty men of David who stayed true to him all of his life. So it was in the Adullam cave that his first anointing really brought him up. He became captain over them. He became a king over 400 men. They all came under his umbrella. The anointing in his life began. So when you're anointed the first time, get your Adullam cave ready. Sometimes the Adullam cave is not air conditioned. What is it? It's bad condition. Full of bats. And sometimes God sends some of those people to you. Say, God, I don't want those people. God said, this is Adullam cave. Are you Batman? No, sir. This is Adullam cave. Those who are in distress, those who are in debt, all these people come to you and you say, God, what can I do with these people? God says, the anointing is in your life. Say, God, I don't like this capital city based in Adullam cave. And I don't like these men. God says, be captain over them. First anointing, my friend. Nobody has it the easy way. in the ministry of God, every one of us will have to go through testing, trials, and temptation at that first anointing. If you pass the first anointing, which sometimes can take quite a long time, and some people never move out of it. Then we go to 2 Samuel, and see David's second anointing. Chapter 2. 2 Samuel chapter 2. And just a historical note for those of you who are very thorough in your study. I presume that most of you have read 24 chapters on your way here. On your MRT, lightning speed. Some of you will have a question like, how come in 2 Samuel chapter 1, it says that this Amalekite fellow killed King Saul and brought the evidence of King Saul's death to King David? When in 1 Samuel, right at the ending, it says that King Saul fell on his own sword or spear and killed himself, harakiri style. Say, where is that? 1 Samuel, right to the end of 1 Samuel, chapter 31. Say, in verse 4, Saul took a sword and fell on it. So Saul fell on the sword. And some of you are wondering, why the discrepancy? There's no discrepancy. Saul fell on his sword. He is probably, still have some life in him. Then this Amalekite guy came by and saw this thing, and he was still half dead, partially alive, and so this fellow just chopped off his head, look for a reward, and that's how the two stories would synchronize. But that's just a historical part. That's not what we're getting into. But we are looking at the anointing of King David. Remember, we are following book by book on a theme. And so this whole book of 2 Samuel focuses on King David's life. And his life, there is a flow. Three anointings he received. And first anointing he received in 1 Samuel. Two anointings he received in 2 Samuel. The second anointing is in 2 Samuel chapter 2. 2 Samuel chapter 2. Verse 4. Then the men of Judah came, and there they anointed David king over the house of Judah. And they told David, saying the men of Jabesh Gilead were the ones who buried Saul. Now where was David at that time in verse 3? You notice from verse 1 to 3, David had moved to Hebron. Hebron means fort or company. Now his second anointing took him to Hebron. He has moved out of Adullam cave into Hebron. Hebron means fort or company, a company of people. And his second anointing was witnessed there. Now, this second anointing, David lasted in that second anointing about 7.5 years. About 7 years, he was reigning as king over one tribe. And plus Benjamin, you consider that part, so it will be over two tribes. But it was so small, it was considered part of Judah. And the other 10 tribes were in the north. There were 12 tribes, if you remember. So, he was reigning over this tribe of Judah and that remnant of the Benjamites for 7 years. And what was happening in this second anointing? In his second anointing, David build up a company. See, Hebron means company. David's anointing began to take a change. He began to move out of himself. The first anointing deals with his innermost life. Whether your life is tuned to your office. So that first anointing that God drops into your life will tune your inner being to your office. For example, you could be the most soft-spoken person. Always very soft. However, some people they have a natural inclination even before they're anointed. But let's say you're a very soft-spoken person. However, God has planned for you to be an evangelist. Maybe like Reinhard Bonnke. And you're so soft-spoken. And so somehow in you, you know that one day you'll be an evangelist. So you share it with your pastor. Pastor looks at you, cannot be lah. Maybe pastor can. See, we judge on the natural. But one day, you know, in an anointed service, God anoints you with His first anointing. An evangelist comes to town and what he's ministering, there's something that was drawn in you and that anointing dropped into your life. The first anointing. Doom. First drop. That day, something changed on the inside. The next Sunday, you went to your pastor. Pastor! Yes? Excuse me. Where do you come from? Are you the same guy? Yes. And sometimes it's instant, sometimes it's not instant. But over a period of time, the pastor looks at you and says, this guy has changed. He's like Saul. He has become another man. Now when he goes about, before he helps his pastor minister in the hospital and visit the people and pray for them, he's so gentle. See you again, huh? Yeah. Now he follows his pastor to visit the sick and he goes, believe God? Only believe. Pastor says, shh, this hospital. And something changed. So you notice there's a character change. See, what happened when the anointing came was the first anointing. It was to tune your character. How many of us know that whatever office God called you, which is a spiritual office, you do need natural qualities. You need natural qualities. And if God called you to be an evangelist, I mean, it's obvious you will be sent to places where there may be no microphones. You're going to say, bless God! You know? Preach fire. It comes out. And do you know these people who are long time anointed as evangelists and move into the first, second, third phase, etc.? Do you know this becomes so much a part of them? That when you just have lunch with them, you say, let's say grace. They lift up their hands and call fire down on the food. And you're so embarrassed you couldn't eat the food anymore. The whole restaurant looks at you. And so, you said, next time when you have lunch with an evangelist, you know, you take them to a secluded or soundproof room. So, something changes. You notice what I'm saying, some of you begin to experience. Or some of you have look at others and they say, God called them to pastor. You say, no, I cannot. That person has no sort of personal touch. A pastor always loves people. That person is too involved in things to care for people. Wait and see. When God calls, He starts tuning a person with that first anointing. He tunes a person's inward being. Now when the second anointing comes, it's no more to work inside, it's to work outside. When that second anointing comes into your life to establish your ministry, at the second anointing, David was already established. At least he was king over real territory, over the territory of Judah. So at least there was a group of people who looked up to him as king. So at the second anointing, he was established. And when God calls a person to be pastor or calls a person to be prophet, etc., when they have the second anointing coming upon their life, they may begin to pastor. If they have called the pastor, they begin to move with a prophetic anointing so strong that undoubtedly you know that it's leaning close towards the office of a prophet. When that second anointing comes into their life, they will begin to what I call draw a following according to their office. draw a following according to the office. They become established in the office that God calls them to be. Their capital city is Hebron.